You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined again by Will Inboden. He is a former senior official in the National Security Council. He was the director for strategic planning, also a planner at the policy planning staff of the Department of State. He is today the executive director of the William P. Clements Center for National Security at the University of Texas, Austin. You can also find his writings at foreignpolicy.com, among other places. And we're delighted to have him here from time to time. Will, welcome back. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thanks so much, Frank. It's great to be with you again.
Well, you've been doing some interesting musing about why it is that President Obama doesn't see why this deal with Iran is, in fact, not the good deal, he professes, but a bad deal. We've gotten some of the details as to the problems with it from our previous guest, Andy McCarthy. But what is it you think is operating that prompts a man who's reputedly quite intelligent to miss what's so obvious, I think, not just to Andy McCarthy and to me and I think to you, but to a great many Americans as well?
Well, it's a great question, Frank, and something I really have puzzled over because, as you and many of our listeners know, it's a terrible deal. You know, so many of the specific provisions are really troubling, and the question is why. And it seems to me there's a number of reasons, and I'm just speculating here, but one is what we call the White House bubble, which is, you know, President Obama and his advisors insulate themselves in the White House, don't like to listen to dissenting opinions or critical media voices or other policy experts who are not at the White House raising questions about it. And it becomes this self-reinforcing conversation where they, you know, sit around the table in the Situation Room, telling each other why this is a good deal, why they shouldn't even have to listen to the critics. And it becomes, when you cut yourself off from outside information like that, it becomes self-reinforcing. Another big factor, I think, is what I've called a overactive historical imagination, which is this president seems to have a pretty grandiose sense of self and wants to go down in history as a great American statesman. And that's why at times you'll see him comparing himself to Ronald Reagan, which you and I have both talked about before, is a rather absurd comparison.
Our guest is Will Inboden. He is a professor at the University of Texas, Austin. He was also the executive director of its Clements Center for National Security. He has served in a number of interesting capacities at high levels of the United States government, and we're very keen to sort of plumb from that vantage point what on earth has brought us to the present pass with Iran. And Will, you were talking a bit about the White House bubble and the sort of narcissism of this president. One of the other points that you made in a recent piece in foreignpolicy.com was the Netanyahu effect. Talk a little bit about how Benjamin Netanyahu's opposition to this deal might be factoring into the president's calculations.
Sure. It seems to be this perverse calculation because the White House has such a poisonous relationship with Netanyahu and has spent the last several years demonizing him. They now seem to have this almost reflexive reaction that if Netanyahu is against it, then we're for it. Or if Netanyahu is for it, we're against it. And so the mere fact that Netanyahu has raised some very serious questions and criticisms of the deal almost automatically kicks in this Pavlovian White House reflex that, okay, well then we're gonna take the opposite position, which is a terrible way to conduct diplomacy, especially when considering that Israel is one of our most important allies.
Yeah, amen to that. One of the other things that you've identified, which has clearly been at work to this point, and I fear is going to be kicking into overdrive in the days ahead, the 60 days ahead, to be precise, Will, is the media enabling of this sort of false narrative about the nature of the deal and what it's going to accomplish. Have you been seeing some of this, you know, kind of fatuous reporting? And it seems even worse than kind of the lionizing of this president before he became president and through much of his previous tenure. It almost seems pathological at the moment. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, if historically the press's role is to provide more, you know, objective accountability to the policymakers and be a part of the checks and balances system, in this case, the media has, for the most part, just gotten fully on board as cheerleaders for the Obama administration, and especially for this Iran deal. And I've been stunned at the lack of scrutiny, you know, that the deal has been subjected from the media. I mean, any objective observer takes a close look at the deal, starts to see all sorts of very problematic aspects to it, but we're not getting that from the media. Instead, they're playing along with the Obama administration's preferred narrative of being these, you know, world historical figures, concluding this once in a generation diplomatic agreement, et cetera, et cetera. But we've got the White House press office to spin that kind of stuff. We don't need the New York Times and Washington Post and other media voices going along with it.
Yeah, and I know that having spent time in the White House, you're familiar with the adversarial relationship that the press is exhibited in the past under other presidents. But in this case, I just wonder, Will, whether you might entertain another explanation, which I happen to subscribe to, that what the president has really embraced is a notion that the rise of Iranian hegemony in the Middle East is a good thing. And if that means equipping them with nuclear weapons, at least at some point in the future, if not right away, well, so be it. That it's a kind of, I don't know, I think of it as the sort of foreign policy parallel to his fundamental transformation of the United States. It's part and parcel of fundamentally transforming the international order that he sees as his ultimate legacy. Is that something that you've given thought to, and is it possible that may be the best explanation of all?
I'm afraid you may be right, Frank, and I'm reluctant to say that because it seems like such terrible diplomatic malpractice to be encouraging Iran to take a stronger role in the region. But we've heard President Obama himself, as well as Secretary Kerry, speak several times to their hope that with a diplomatic agreement, Iran will start to act like a responsible regional power, et cetera, et cetera. But when you look at Iran's recent current behavior, being the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, killing American forces in Iraq over the last last 10 years, supporting the Assad regime in Syria, which has, you know, killed over 200,000 of its own citizens at this point, repeatedly threatening the annihilation of Israel. I could go on and on. That's not the behavior of a responsible regional power. And so how and why the White House thinks that with the seductions of this deal that Iran will suddenly transform itself into the Switzerland of the Middle East is just absurd. And yet that seems to be part of what's driving this. I'm afraid you're right.
Very quickly, Will, just another of your recent pieces in foreignpolicy.com that caught my attention. And again, our guest is Will Inboden, the author, among other things, of Religion and American Foreign Policy, 1945 to 1960, The Soul of Containment. The comparison between President Obama and President Reagan is one that the president may have some illusions about, but you sort of shattered them very quickly. Describe the differences between the two men.
Well, the only similarities they have, they both were president of the United States and they both had some roots in Illinois. But other than that, I find it just absurd when the Obama administration tries to compare President Obama to President Reagan. I mean, President Reagan increased and strengthened our military. Obama has gutted it. President Obama promoted freedom around the world. President Obama has curtailed it. President Reagan strengthened our alliances with Great Britain and Germany and Japan and Canada and Israel. President Reagan left America stronger and more respected and more secure in the world. And especially this new Iran deal, President Obama is making us less safe, less secure, weaker, and more vulnerable. So across the board, it's a terrible record.
It is a terrible record, and I'm afraid we will be living with its consequences for a long time to come, much as we live with the very positive consequences of the Reagan presidency, in which I was privileged to serve. Will Inboden, thank you very much for your time today, for your historical perspective, as well as that contemporary assessment, which we prize. Keep up the good work at the University of Texas, Austin, and come back to us again very soon. Next up, best-selling author Kevin Freeman, another Texan, will join us, talking about cyber warfare at the New York Stock Exchange and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.